in life. I sense in the society as I've been in Maryland progressively every year, I've seen a dampening of the spiritual life, both in the world and within congregation and within the church. And if you are going to confess, even as we also have been raising our children, you've been doing homeworks, attending school, there have been other things that earnestly contend against the fervency and the devotion in the spirit. Some of you will readily confess that a time for devotion is a little harder than it used to be when you were students, or before the babies came, or before you got promoted. Right? That money issues is now more of a problem than it used to be when it was just you and your husband newlywed, and the only thing you thought about was, who knows? Who knows what one was thinking about then? Now, there are so many things that contend, and there are responsibilities that Jesus has given to us. But the Bible also has warned us that these things also have the tendency to begin to put our focus away from one very important thing, that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. They have the tendency to make the expectation of the consolation of the saints in Christ less, to put our focus on the things below and not on the things above. I remember the parable of the sower and that particular seed that fell amidst thorns. And when Christ would interpret it, he said the cares of this world. He didn't mean drinking and all of that, self-imposed, I call them unforced errors. He actually meant the legitimate cares of this world can at times dampen the spirit. But what fears me, what scares me the most is that part of the tricks of Satan is that when we fight against these things, we at times just resign ourselves to this is normal life. Before you know it, if you are in ministry, if once your vision was that the gospel will be preached all over the world, your concern may be, oh, just let me get through this Sunday service. If once when you preach, your purpose is that people may be born again, now is that, at least I find something to preach this Sunday. Because there's so many things contending. And before you know it, without knowing it, you are soon removed from the perfect expectation of Christ for your life. As you walk, as you raise kids, all these legitimate concerns, except for the power of God. Christ said that we should abide in him and let his word abide in us. That without him, we can do nothing. In fact, you may discover very soon that your Christianity is about, I'm attending church, but it's no longer, you've lost the passion and the love for the man Jesus Christ. And your prayer life may have become about how the Lord will solve my current problem, not about how I may fulfill the purpose of the Lord for my life. So all of this, I believe that the Lord will want us to discuss. So when you hear a discussion offline between two Christians, it's more likely to be about how is your job and how is the family? How are the problems? And these are legitimate things. They are very legitimate things, but they must be put in context. Whereas, there used to be a time probably in our Christian walk, I pray there will be, I hope there is, when a Christian went with a Christian, is how is your soul? When no matter what else is happening in your life, there's a peace. There's just a confidence. Because you know that you are in the Lord, that you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you're able to say, like the psalmist, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Christ was filled with issues and with problems. In my problems, I'm often reminded, there was a time in my life when I was walking the barren hall of a hospital and I was saying to the Lord, where are you? Because I certainly feel very alone. Where are you? Where are you, Lord? If only I could see your face, I'll be fine. Where are you? And I remember the word of the Lord coming into my heart and saying, I'm exactly where I was when my son was going through a far worse thing than you are. And I remember I went back to my Bible and I went, really? Where was the Lord? And then I remember the voice of the Lord, and it comforted me, Jesus, also saying, my Lord, why have you forsaken? Just in case, there's a voice regarding an issue in your heart now, saying, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? He reminded me that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comforted me that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, also had instances where he was saying, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And David also had instances when he said, Lord, why have you forgotten us? Is your mercy forever cast off? Will you show mercy no more? It comforted me to know that the Apostle Paul also at a point in his life, despite everything that he did in the name of the Lord, said, I besought the Lord 3 times. Or that the prophet Elijah went, is it only me, Lord? I'm weary and he ran away also. So I want us to know, primarily this morning, that as you go through these things, they are part of life. He said, the scriptures already said to us that we're going to go through several trials. But be of good faith. We have overcome the world. I think we Christians need to remind ourselves about this very often. That our lives are designed, our trials are designed to show forth the glory of the Lord. We should encourage one another because the Lord will deliver. He said, it was Christ who told us the parable of the persistent widow, who, the Bible says, he kept on going and begging the king. He said, because he never gave up. He never went to the herbalist in place of the king. He never gave up hope and said, oh, I'm just going to commit suicide. The widow. She said, the evil king heard. How much more a loving, tender Heavenly Father. So I don't know what that prayer point that has been lingering for 3 decades that you think, now the Lord will not hear, is. He will. He will. Joy will come if you don't give up. So in the face of all of these, though, there's something that Christ our Redeemer had in his troubles. He never set his focus away from the Father. At the end of his problems, he still said, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And I want to talk to us very briefly this morning and remind us how it's very important that we remember the purpose of our conversion. We remember the love that Jesus has for us, that we remember that Jesus is coming back to take us home. Despite all our problems, we are winners ultimately. If we keep steadfast, the beginning of our faith to the very end. No matter how silent the Lord may appear today, the Bible says he is faithful. He has proven himself faithful in our lives and will prove himself faithful today. The question though is, are you faithful? When I come before the Lord and there are things that are not clear to me or there are expectations that are not met, my question in prayer is not whether the Lord can do it or not. My question is always, what is it in my life that will prevent the Lord from doing it? We don't have to re-legislate the faithfulness of God. That has been proven. The earth declares his glory. The firmament sing forth his praise. Day after day uttereth wisdom. Night after night. There's no tongue, no language in which they've... The Lord already proved his faithfulness. You don't need to, in the light of your situation, contest the faithfulness of God. Whether you live or you die, he's faithful. Whether you are burnt at stake or you remain firm, whether you are put in fire or it consumes you, God is faithful. And his faithfulness is manifest, will be manifest forever and ever. The kings of the world, the history of the universe testify that we serve a living world, a living God. What we need to focus on in order to activate the power of relationship and life and God in our lives is to pay a little bit more attention to our own faithfulness. Let me read this. Oftentimes on Sundays and in prayer meetings and in your prayer, private prayer, in our spiritual discussion, the Lord hears our voice regarding what we need. Every sermon, every spiritual discussion devolves to I want, or what I need, or what God can do for me, or God's faith. The only time we talk about his faithfulness is when we buy a house, or buy a car, or get promoted. Those to us are the testimonies of God's faithfulness. But it comes to a time when I think we should have more discussion about what we give to the Lord. The last time he helped you, did it help you to become a better witness? Did you use that miracle to encourage others? Did you use that miracle to the way your son will be reassured of your love if you did something they want? Was that the effect of God's last deliverance in your life? Did you seize the opportunity to tell everybody what the Lord has done? Because that's why he said, whatever he does it for his own pleasure and his own glory. When the Lord does something in your life, remember, and you look around, if only you look around, you see there are many believers like you that God has not done the same thing in their lives. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Isn't it kind of a little selfish when, see, I'm just coming from Nigeria, it was an eye-opener to me. Because I saw people who probably pray a lot, who are fervent in church, and they don't have a tenth of what I have. When I stand and I say the evidence of God's faithfulness is that I'm richer than you, what are we saying? That God loves me, but God must not love you as much. So it became obvious to me that the evidence of God's faithfulness is not the things happening to us. There are things that you had that Christ never had. You probably have a landed property to your name. Our Lord Jesus never had a landed property. You probably drive a very comfortable car. Our Lord drove a borrowed donkey. You probably have a series of changes of clothes. The man dressed like his fisherman friends. You ate whatever you want. He had to cause a fig tree for being hungry. I don't remember the last time you opened your fridge and there was nothing there to eat. So God is more faithful to you than he was to his own son, Jesus Christ. That sounds absurd, right? The evidence of God's faithfulness to you is that it has set you apart to inherit an everlasting throne. In this body called the church, there are the poor, there are the rich, there's the sick, there are the tempted, the comforted, all of us sustained by the power of the living God. I don't want us to forget the bigger picture. When you got born again, if you think about it, we did not get born again because, well, some people do actually. We got born again because there was the witness of the mercy, eternal mercy and salvation of cross of God in our life. There was a time, Paul wrote to a church, he said, I remember once that if it were to pluck out your own eyes, you were ready to do it for me. There was a church that he said, there was a time that even the things that we think are the testimonies of God's faithfulness, there was a time that this church was ready to throw all of those things away. So there's something deeper. There's a reason, a deeper joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible describes a peace that passes all human understanding. It's the peace that believers have, even though the sea may roar and the mountain might cast itself into the ocean. I'd like to charge our holy minds this morning to reconnect with the source of our salvation. I pray that all of us will find a quiet confidence in Jesus Christ. I pray that Satan will lose his power to define our happiness and our joy based on the temporary afflictions of the flesh. the Bible calls them the light and momentary afflictions. What I've noticed in the last few decades, is that Satan has so powerfully changed the message and the hope of believers. We now measure ourselves by stuff. But the Bible talks about how the Lord will make himself, we appear to those who love his appearing. That means our default position is that we should all be sitting waiting for the day that Jesus will come. I ask you this morning, when was the last time you thought about what will happen on the day to you, on the day that Jesus comes? The Bible says, who is the servant that Christ, the master, will really love? He says, the servant who he finds doing what he wants. Let's challenge ourselves to those simple gospel truths. Revelation chapter 3. The letters to the churches. Oftentimes, when I want to put things in perspective again, I pray this morning that the Spirit of the Lord will strengthen his word in our lives. Because these words are the word of God. You see, the Bible tells us what God thinks. By prayer, we tell the Lord what we want. I've said this, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm going to say this again because we must be biblical. People say that prayer is a two-way conversation with the Lord. No, prayer is not. Prayer is the tool that God gives to man to cry. God does not pray. It is man that prays. Okay? It's not a conversation. It is man. Throughout the scriptures, when they talk about prayer, is the tool that in the relationship that you want, you have with God, you cry to the Lord. I lift my voice and I cried unto the Lord and he heard my prayer. You never see where he say, and God prayed to man. Now, when we cry to the Lord, he answers us in different ways. By signs, by wonder. At times it's just by deliverance. We pray and the Lord answers. Now, as we cry and we speak unto the Lord this morning and in our lives, I pray that our cry may be more than all things, like the cry of Job, that Lord, may I see you when you appear. As we ache for things, I pray that we put our pain in perspective. I pray that we'll not judge any longer the faithfulness of God by stuff. Because that was the temptation that Satan tried to put on Christ. You are hungry. Focus on your hunger. You are not popular right now. I will make you popular. Right? Those are stuff. But if you notice the response of Christ, he kept pointing from stuff to eternal things. We'll read Revelation. The 16th of Matthew, I think we've quoted it several times. Peter came to the Lord. The Lord began to say to Peter, these are the things that will happen to me that I must suffer. And typically, just Satan again. And I'm glad that the Lord called it Satan. At times we don't call it. Right? When we see a man or a woman that's so fixated on the world and on earthly things, we empathize. And before you know it, your entire prayer, the reason you worship, the reason you pray, the reason you interact is because of the need. So we have what we call a needs-based Christianity, which denies the power, eternal power of God. But this is why we teach. So, Peter had a needs-based Christianity. I want us to close early, so I'm just saying the chapter so that you study it at home, okay? And the Lord began to tell Peter deep spiritual things. I know you think I'm a king. Peter, I'm not going to be ordained the king of... I'm not competing with Herod for the king of Israel. Actually, you think I'm a champion and I'm about to bring a big army to throw away these Romans that we hate. Peter, it's not going to happen. Let me tell you what will happen. I'm going to go to the cross like a common criminal. They're going to name me and I'm going to die. What a happy testimony. Imagine Mitun sidling up to me, say, Uncle, I have something to tell you, right? Uncle, we just sang together and worshiped together, and the Lord has been revealing some things to me, Uncle. You know, my mom, she thinks I'm going to Yale and Harvard. No, I'm not going to go to Yale and Harvard. You know what's going to happen to me, uncle? I'm going to the interiors of Ecuador. You know what will happen? I'm going to get in the canoe and I will drown. See, her body is on fire, right? Even to suggest it. A suggestion of it already, she looks at me and says, look, use another person as an example, don't use me too, right? And she's saying it smiling, and she's not telling the whole church. It's just that maybe I just preached a sermon, and she's going, Uncle understands the deep spiritual things of God. Let me share with Uncle. That was what happened. Peter just said, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was saying, finally, someone that understands. Maybe I can share the true things of God with this person. And the Lord calls, and me, Mr. Spiritual, I said to me too, God forbid. Don't you know? We named you. We put the blessings of the Lord on you. We pray that you will preach the gospel to the whole nation. Yes, you will go to Ecuador, but you are going to build a big church. And you marry the Archbishop of Ecuador. And you will write books and have radio programs. And you will declare the glory of the Lord. You will bring righteousness to all the earth. Which one is Keno? God forbid Keno. You will not drown. And Mitun just went, even uncle doesn't get it. That was what happened. Satan wanted the Lord to begin to be fixated on welfare. He wanted, and the Satan has done the same to most of us. There was a time when our core prayer was, Lord, how may I glorify you? Send me anywhere. Now he's send me anywhere, but let it be early. Send me anywhere, but Nigeria. Right? We have to go back to the purpose of God. And then there's a secret there that I see. The Lord who was going to the cross had peace. But there's no peace for people who are outside the will of God. That's why they are forever having, but never satisfied. Only being in the will of God can give us peace. I pray that God will give us the courage to embrace his will in all, not in part. At times we tussle with his will, even in prayer. Bless me, this is how I want you to. I pray that the Lord will give to me and you the courage to trust in him as a compassionate father. That he will give us his angels to take charge over us. And give us peace. Be with us in fire as the three Hebrew brothers. Oftentimes the Lord reminds me of this. Wale, is it still about you? Oh, that you may make it about me. And I say, Lord, help me. Don't be deceived. Do not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. He that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. What shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul? May the Lord help us to find our eternal purpose. I pray that our mindset, the Holy Spirit will help us, that we will recapture that mindset that waits for, that truly counts all things dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. That's why we're troubled. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of this kingdom, and everything will be added unto you. The church as a body seeks the welfare of man. We no longer seek that every soul in our town will be born again. Our programming, our priorities do not align to that simple joy that everybody should be born again. It's now that bodies will be preserved from poverty, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. But it shouldn't be a devotion. We should seek to bring the peace of God to every heart. And that peace is for the poor and the rich. That peace is for us in every circumstance. That peace is Jesus Christ in our lives. Not by words, but as we actively follow him. Those that have my word and keep them, they are the ones that love me. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what I'm saying is true. All of you here, if you know Jesus, you know that what I'm saying is true. because you've had once in your life when your passion was to rise up and pray, when you had joy, even when you were taking public transport. For those of you that took public transport, you know when it wasn't because of the cloth you wore or the money you have or because you knew what tomorrow held, but you just faced every day and you knew you were riding on the hand of grace. That is the kind of life that Christ wants us to live. The life of faith. Revelations chapter 3. And to the angel, from verse 1, of the church in Sardis, these things write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you're not. As you sit here, is Jesus alive in you? Have you backslidden? Do you still love the Lord? Do you love the Lord more than everything else? You shall love the Lord your God more than everything. Or the affairs of eating and drinking taking precedence over the Lord. That simplicity of faith, that joy, that the remembrance of Christ comes into your heart. Do you think about the street of gold? Does it even mean anything to you? Or is it like Alice in Wonderland now? A fairy tale? Do you really believe that Jesus is coming? Or has the fact that he has delayed for so long allowed your faith to grow cold? Are you a believer? Do you still do things for Jesus' sake? We read a passage that says, everything we do, we should do it to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible reading this morning. Challenge yourself with these things. The next time you take a complaint, a prayer point before the Lord, I want to challenge your heart in prayer to first think, I deal with a very intelligent God who is querying my heart. First, search your heart and say, are there things, only idols, that you go to and you just tell what you want and you don't care what it, because you know they are not living. There are objects that we place there. God is not an idol. He's a person wiser than us. Just as we carefully think about when you want to go to your bosses at work, and you're preparing for a conversation with him, you're not just thinking about what you will say to him. You're asking also, what questions will he ask of me? I must be prepared. What assignment did he give me? Have I attended to it? What are his expectations of me? So that I'll be able to answer. Then when I've answered, I build up confidence. And then, if I have a demand, I will be able to ask. Those who love the Lord approach him that way, as an intelligent king and a God, that what he wants matters more than what we want. 3, B2. The things, I know your words, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. I always think about this passage. I say, Lord, is this what you are thinking of me now? There are too many sermons that present the Lord as not really caring about the quality of relationship we have with him. Just as long as you have a semblance of relationship, he's just glad that we know him. I remember, was it Paul writing to Timothy or Titus that said, well, we have been called not just to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. That means to be inconvenienced for him. Here it's saying, which I want you to remember, the things that remain, strengthen them. If we have been backsliding, stop. Let's start moving forward. The Lord acknowledges so far, but be honest before God. and move yourself in sincerity back to the point where there's a dynamic relationship between you and God. That's when you have the most peace. And that is where your peace is. When there was nothing between you and God, nothing hidden. When you dealt with God the same way that David dealt with God, who says, "Seek me, O Lord. Try me. Know my ways. See if there be any iniquity in me. And lead me in your path everlasting." Oftentimes, the things that he's telling us, our not being mindful of it, are the things that prevent us from experiencing relationship with the Lord. Because no matter how we ignore it, he said he remains faithful to his word. He does not forget. So you know those things that you need to do. Don't let's be part of the generation that seeks the hands of the Lord. Like Israel. Israel always sought the Lord for deliverance, but was Israel concerned about maintaining a relationship with God? No. Let us be part of the children that want to maintain a relationship with God. Those things that remain, let them not die. For many Christians, there's no relationship between them and God again. The fervency is gone. There's coldness. Now all there is a stale ritual. God is to them no better than the herbalist is to those who seek such things. But God seeks a relationship. So I just commend us this morning to remember this man. Strengthen the things that remain. Ultimately, it's not the kind of car that we drive that gives us peace. Ultimately, it's not the prosperity of our children that give us peace. Whether your children prosper physically or not, you are going to die and stand before the judgment throne of God. That will not even be a conversation in heaven on that day. Whether people talk about athletes, so I don't, whatever, whether you are Steve Jobs or you are Joe Diploma or the vulcanizer, on heaven, there's no, you know, even within the Christian circle, we exalt human talent and skills. No, we should encourage excellence. But please don't let encourage physical skills to the level of divine gift. The Lord doesn't care whether you earn $7 an hour or you earn $700 an hour. You are one and the same to him. What he cares is whether you are $700 or $7 is the life of God bubbling in you, because he gives his Holy Spirit to the poor and the rich alike. His blessing is without respect of persons. May the Holy Spirit give us contentment. At times, we suffer for our lack of contentment. The Lord clearly says, when you have clothes on your body, you have food in your belly, be there with content. Are you honest enough to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, what I'm asking you is actually greed. I know. I have more than the bare minimum. I have more than majority of your children. If only I will set my eyes away from earthly things and set it on you, I will have peace." So Lord, my prayer is not give me more. My prayer is, Lord, give me contentment so that I will have peace. Is this just Brother Wally or is this the Bible? A man went to the Lord and said to the Lord, "The issue in my family now is the way we may divide inheritance. Our father left some pounds and dollars. Well, better dollars now. Pounds is losing value. And if only this money can flow into our coffers, I know a lot of problems." So he didn't say this. I'm just trying to put context to a short story in the Bible. I'm trying to see what it is that this man is hearing spiritual message from Christ. And the only thing going on in his heart is how the message may finish so that they will call for prayer. And his request will be, "Lord, in Kotowal, the thing that is in my heart now is that I have a problem. I have a greedy brother." He was hearing the message of the kingdom of God. He was hearing the Lord Jesus Christ, life and direct. The Lord was talking about the eternal hope of mankind. He was talking about the time when he will wipe away tears from every face. The Lord was talking about the time when he was going to come in his glory and the angels with him, where every tear will be wiped off. Every problem will go away. The whole earth, there will be no NEPA blackout anymore. There will be no injuries, no emergency service, no ambulances, no pride, no arrogance, no lying, no all of these things, that no strife. The Lord was telling about things beyond the cloud, how the cloud will split open and the holy angels of the Lord will come. How? And this man couldn't wait for that sermon to end. And then it was question time. And what was the question of this man? Lord, let me bring you back to earth. All of those things that you're talking about, I can't relate to them. This is something you and I, maybe some of you are thinking about that as I speak this morning. But I abandoned the sermon that I prepared when I came into church this morning, and I'm preaching to you what I believe the Holy Ghost will want us to hear this morning. Say, Lord, just leave that one now. Let me tell you, because often we say you have to speak to the need of the people. We speak to the eternal need. What we think is the need of the heart at times is not what God thinks. At times we think it's money. Whereas at times it may not be money at all. It may be just that our focus, our outlook may change so that we can have peace. Do you ever wonder why brothers who have millions will still kill each other for inheritance of a piece of land that is not worth a quarter of what they already have in their bank account? Or why a man will commit suicide when he still has 2-3 million in his account? We do not fight against flesh and blood. At times, it's not really about what you think. Do you wonder why a woman with 5 children, because the other wife has 7, we have no peace until she has 7? Do you ever wonder how a man that earns $20 an hour has no peace until he earns $50 an hour? A man that lives in a townhome has no peace until he buys a single family home. You know, at that point, it's no longer about having a roof over your head. It's something else. Why a man that drives a Camry has no peace until he cruises down with his own Range? You know, at that time, it's no longer about transportation or AC. And the Lord, many times when we go to the Lord with problems, what he tries to do is to try and make us see things differently. I'm not touching you, baby. You're cool. I'm not touching you. Okay. Let's think about this. Often the scripture is presented as Latin, but it's not written as Latin. It's written as human experiences that are real, so that we can relate to them. Everything happening, we can relate to it. Everything recorded in Bible, they are recorded because God wants us. But our teachers at times don't take the time to show us. They teach us a set of memory verses and doctrines and principles. It's as if you are learning theory. But these are not theory. Everything that you've gone through, Jesus, Peter, James, John, went through it, so that when we go through it, we may have hope. So the Lord said to Peter, "Get away from me, Satan, because you do not serve all the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Think about it. Peter was just preaching the average sermon that we hear from our pastors every time. You no go suffer. You no go beg for bread. Because God of miracle, na your papa, oh. That was all Peter was saying. Saying, may you not suffer, Lord. God forbid that the things you just told me. Like Mitun say, Uncle, get away from me. I know the vision that I saw. I know the end of it that is prosperity. I know this is the only way I have peace. And you tell me I will marry this archbishop? I will have a TV show? I will have popularity, just like Satan wanted to give Jesus popularity instead of the cross. Can you imagine if the Lord had agreed to popularity instead of the cross? Many of us are embracing popularity instead of the cross. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it is the way to perdition. Okay, I'm going to round up with this statement. That Revelation passage. This is what I say to my... These things are not easy. I must confess that I struggle with a lot of these things because at times it just aches. The daily grind. You know, you go from trial to trial. There's never an end. In fact, the most peaceful people are people who are not even Christians. Life is full of trouble. Strange things happening to believers, even if it's not to you. When I look around and some of the afflictions of my brothers, at times even you are fearful for them. But I sit back. And when I pray, which is where I'm going to end, which is how you should pray. Confess your sins and your weakness. Don't make an excuse for yourself. Confess your greed and your lack of strength. God wants people who will deal with him in honesty, not people who are pretending to be Christians. He sees behind all of that. God is not moved by the memory verses we quote. He wrote them. He inspired people to write them. Think a little about what the Lord wants for you. Pray according to God's will. Say, Lord, I have no peace. Calm me down. Lord, I have no courage. I've read your word. This is what I think I should be doing. I cannot. Calm me. Help me. If you read Psalm 51, the confessionist psalm, you will hear how David approached the Lord. Lord, you create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Right? Thou, O Lord, desirest, is it righteousness in the inner place? In my inner being, you caused me to know justice or thereabout. Purge me and I'll be clean. Cleanse me, I'll be whiter than snow. Those are words we need to speak to the Lord. I'm weak. You told me to carry the message to all the earth. I hardly have the courage to present it to my family. Lord, this is who I am. Help me. You told me not to live to myself, but I have to admit that right now I think more about myself than what is your will. Help me to come back. Every blessing starts with repentance. And repentance is something that we no longer know within the church. I pray you'll be one of the Christians who are not ashamed before the Lord, who are not ashamed to be honest. I pray that you not be a Christian who Satan has deceived in his heart. I pray that you be one who will treat the Lord as a merciful and kind Father. I pray that our honesty, the Bible says the sacrifice of the Lord is a contrite spirit. That meek and contrite heart he will not despise. When the Bible talks about humility and meek, we usually think it's Ekwelema, how are you? Yes, brother. That's slavishness. That's not meek. If you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at Moses, who was the meekest of all men, he wasn't going before Aaron. No, he was a man that was strong. He declared to them, he called them out in their foolishness, both the old and the young of them. His meekness, when the Bible talks about meekness, it's meekness before the Lord. He said, who is that man who trembles at his word? The man who hears that thus says the Lord, and he's not arguing. That's meekness. If you look at the Apostle Paul, if you look at the Apostle Peter, these were not slavish men. They were men who would look at the Sanhedrin and say, tell me now, who will we rather obey? These are fishermen. You or God? Say, keep quiet. Meek men, people don't. He said, yes. Just go and pray about it. Don't say anything. No. Look at Elijah. Who was that bald-headed prophet that we read about? He was a man that would say, you're making fun of me, I'm angry. Okay, beast, come, devour them so that they will learn the glory and the honor of the Lord. So I pray that we'll be meek before the Lord, because that's what matters. When you read something in the Bible, when you pray, be honest. Don't reinterpret. Don't redirect, which is what we do today. Say just, Lord, I'm guilty. Help me. That man said, Lord, I believe, help my own belief. He did not argue. He did not redefine what it means to believe. May the Lord help us. Please be honest about who you are. I believe our repentance and turnaround starts from us being honest about who we are. Say, Lord, I'm greedy. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Purge me. Cure me. What I really want to do is to be fervent and bold for you everywhere I go. First, I want to first confess that I'm not. And by reason of being not, it's possible that you may hide your face from me. Please don't hide your face from me, Father. Have real conversations, not form prayers. You know those, I don't like those form letters. You know when you receive a letter, you know when you go for your naturalization? And in my case, who signed it? Was it George Bush that signed mine? Yeah, the president signs it, right? And you really know he really didn't sign it? Someone just put, you know, a stamp on it. That letter annoys me. I mean, if I saw a personal signature of George Bush on it, I would frame it. But I don't think I've looked at that letter since my naturalization because I know he didn't really sign it. At times, that is our prayer, form prayer. Let's start with praise. Okay, praise end. So this is time for petition. So petition end. Oh, this is time for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's just a form prayer. And then we stamp with it in Jesus' name and post send. It's going to heaven. I mean, if we had that conversation with our fathers, we hear us. Daddy, good morning. Carol, I want to talk. Here's my list. Thank you for giving it to me. Bye-bye, Daddy. Have a conversation. He that comes to the Lord must believe that he is. And as we do that, as we are honest with the Lord, I pray that the Lord will be honest with us. I pray that the joys of his salvation will be rekindled. How many of you here will find God in a personal way? Many people worshipped God in Israel. Only the likes of David got to know him personally. May we know him. The reason David knew him was because he wasn't seeking the God of the temple. He was seeking the God with all of his heart. He had respect. When we know God this way, we will not come to church late anymore. When we know God this way, even the secret lies that nobody sees, we'll feel uncomfortable with it. We will not be happy if we prosper and the church of God is not prospering. We will not be happy if our prayers are being answered and our brethren are in need. Those are the signs that shows that you know the God, that you know God. May the Lord bless us. Let us pray. Father, I just say this morning, please help us. You said you will build your church, the gate of hell will not prevail. As we go into the week, ultimately we know there's no mountain that can stand before us if only we are in you. At times we know also that we are the ones that stand in the way of your manifest glory. Help us, Father. Help us to strengthen the things that remain. Let your glory return to your church so that we may love you, the Lord our God, with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our body. What we do not know, Father, please show us. Father, pour your gifts upon the church. Let our prophets speak. Let our seers see. Give understanding to our teachers. Let our children rejoice. Father, please, Lord, establish your pleasure upon us so that we may deal with you honestly. We may work for you, prosper on your behalf. Whether we drink or eat, it may be clear that it's your glory. Father, please pour your peace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.